I scream. You scream. We all scream. Because Wendy's famous small classic Frosty is just a buck for a limited time. More screaming, happy screaming, summer screaming, dollar small classic Frosty screaming! But please don't scream in the drive-thru. It hurts the employees' ears. Get a $1 small classic Frosty for a limited time, only at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. A la carte only, not valid for delivery. Limit 10 per transaction. Price may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs, with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
This is 1580 The Bet, presented by BetMGM. Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
The summer of soccer continues with Monday Night Football tonight in Seattle. U.S. against Belgium, and of course, the biggest story in the world, really, in the last 24 hours, sports or otherwise, FIFA deciding to overturn, suspend the ban on Phalerin Balogun, who got a red card during that victory over Bosnia and Herzegovina, and suspend that ban for the next year and allow him to play tonight against Belgium. What's the immediate impact of that? What's the trickle-down effect of that for the U.S. tonight against Belgium, who, again, just a reminder, is the ninth-ranked country in the world? So, despite the fact that I think a lot of us as average American sports fans are coming into this going, oh, they got Balogun back. Americans are going to win. We're going to the quarters. All of that. This is not necessarily a pushover, not in the least. Even if the Americans have the advantage in youth and speed and endurance, the Belgians, they've got some key reserves, some subs that can come on late and create offensive opportunities. This will have to be a full 90-plus minute effort from the Americans in order to advance to the quarterfinals against either Spain or Portugal, who play this afternoon. We've also found, I think, the Cinderella for this summer of soccer as Norway upset Brazil yesterday. Erling Haaland with a pair of goals. He's now tied with Messi and Mbappe for the Golden Boot lead. And we also got England surviving in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca, which was just looked like an electric environment. Absolutely. So a number of different things to talk about as the summer of soccer continues. Here on Westwood One Sports, Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet. Top of the hour, we'll get back into the conversation around someone burning his final bridge. And I think Travis Kelce may have made a giant miscalculation this offseason. I'll tell you exactly what it was coming up just after 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. But it's Monday Night Football in Seattle. Anthony DeBundo been covering the World Cup for The Ringer and doing a great job of it. Joins us now here on Westwood One Sports. Anthony, let's start with obviously the biggest story of the last 24 hours or so. Phalerin Balogun, his ban for tonight, suspended by FIFA. Just the immediate impact that he will have if he is, in fact, because it sounds like Belgium is still appealing this and fighting it, if he is, in fact, on the pitch tonight for the United States.
Yeah, I mean, he's been their best player at this tournament thus far. You know, while Christian Pulisic is battling this, you know, injury situation and he hasn't been at his best in the last couple of games, I thought we've seen Balogun be the go-to guy. And he is somebody that the U.S. has really never had in terms of a quality striker who can consistently get shots in the penalty area like he does. And it's an invaluable thing to have because at the end of the day, the biggest issue the U.S. had at past World Cups has been the striker. And it's always been an area that the U.S. has been crying out for a player of Balogun's quality. And he's proven that thus far, and especially in this matchup against a Belgium team that loves to cede space in behind, Balogun's best skill is his ability to run in transition, to run in behind defenders. So I think he's especially important in this matchup. And, I mean, it sounds like he's in, but Belgium's appealing. It's all in the courts now. The lawyers are currently litigating it as we speak, from what I've heard. So we will find out.
This reminds me of Tom Brady getting the last second stay of execution for the 4-game Deflategate suspension and just barely eking it out and making it back for week one back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to have precedent with FIFA. That's the problem. I think, you know, it is obviously hilariously corrupt to have the president on the phone calling his buddy at FIFA who he's been pals with all tournament and leading up to the tournament and putting a call in to try to get the U.S.'s star striker. I understand why I think just kind of FIFA at this point. It's not going to change. They're a hilariously corrupt organization that is honestly shameless about it. And so now we get to just see what happens. And at the end of the day, I think in a weird way, it's like vigilante justice in the sense that I think the card was not the right decision, but plenty of teams that have had bad red card decisions go against them and don't get their best player to join in on the next match. So it is interesting for sure.
What do you does this set? Because look, we had the same, or not this exact same, but something similar happened before the tournament where Cristiano Ronaldo's what would have been 3-match ban was suspended and he was allowed to play in those group stage matches for Portugal. I mean, are we setting a precedent here now for, let's say, you know, we get through it. Let's say I painted this picture earlier, Anthony. Let's say the Americans get past Belgium and let's say they pull off something amazing and defeat Spain or Portugal in the next round and they're getting ready for the semis against, of all teams, France. But Mbappe gets sent off for a red card in the previous match and somebody makes a call and all of a sudden Mbappe is then eligible. Like, are we at a point where this is the argument that I will hear from people who are very upset about this decision, not just the Belgians. Are we at a point where FIFA has essentially become the international version of the NCAA in which punishments mean nothing?
Yeah, I mean, well, they ultimately get to decide, right? So, you know, this isn't the courts. FIFA made the decision to overturn it. You know, one of the reports that's come out in the recent days is that they were afraid of the Court of Arbitration for Sport in Europe going against them, which, like, again, another toothless organization, CAS, is. So, I mean, look, the inner workings of FIFA are hard to understand because they don't have the kind of processes in place, the kind of legalese in place to properly adjudicate these decisions. And I think I've read plenty of lawyers and people who know that stuff better than I do who have commented on the fact that there's essentially a clause in the FIFA bylaws that kind of just says, we get to decide whatever we want. And that seems to be the precedent or the legal justification that they're rolling with here. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if Mbappe got a red card, it was a dubious one. They would make up something about VAR protocols and say that that was why it needed to be overturned. Credit to the lawyers who are fighting this. Look, they're a very clever bunch. But I have no idea at this point. I'm just going to turn on the game tonight and watch Phil Balogun play.
Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer with us here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet. Back to the on-field impact of this. I made the argument earlier. Tell me what you think of this because you obviously watch the game much more closely than I do. I made the argument that, you know, anytime there's an adjustment made to a plan last minute, and 24 hours, you know, a little more than 24 hours before a match is certainly last minute, that the Belgian back line, and you mentioned some of their weaknesses earlier, that the Belgian back line may, even if it's subconsciously, be more focused on Flo Balogun now that he is back in the lineup And the possibility exists that it opens up extra room out there for others, up to and including Christian Pulisic, who you also mentioned, we all know, has looked good, but we're still waiting for him to score his first goal of this tournament. I think the biggest trickle-down effect here, Anthony, I'm not sure if this makes sense to you or not, or if you think it's something else, is that Pulisic might have the perfect opportunity tonight to finally get on the board.
Yeah, this is the matchup for Pulisic. And honestly, I think the best comp for this game, not to the same level, but is actually not any of the World Cup games the U.S. has played, but their final pre-match tune-up, pre-tournament tune-up against Germany, where, you know, Germany was, you know, they're a more aggressive pressing team than Belgium is, but it's closer to that kind of matchup, right? When you're playing a European team that has European regulars littered across the pitch, that kind of team is just going to have more of the ball. And, you know, what we've seen from Mauricio Pochettino in the past, and this is mostly at the club level, is that Pochettino is not going to go all out, you know, press relentlessly, like a Bielsa would, his mentor from many years ago, where it's not going to be like, we're going to turn the dial up to 100 and we're going to crank up the pressure and we're going to be all over them. However, they will engage Belgium as soon as Belgium tries to make any kind of attacking move. So I suspect that Belgium will have a good bit of the possession here in the kind of like non-dangerous areas, the settled possession. And the whole goal of the U.S. will be to set up a press in a way that doesn't allow Belgium to progress the ball through the middle of the field. And then once they get to a certain point, there'll be what's called like pressing triggers, where when the ball gets to this moment or this person gets on the ball, then the U.S. will spring a press. And when they do that, the whole goal is win the ball quickly and attack in transition. And that is where Pulisic, throughout his career, has been at his best. And you'll see when the U.S. has the ball, he's going to be coming deeper tonight to get the ball than he has in the past matches. He didn't play against Turkey much, but I think you saw a little bit of it there in that match. So when Pulisic comes to get the ball, he's serving as the outlet. He's serving as the engine for the U.S. to move the ball from the midfield into the attacking areas, and he'll have more space to do that in this match. Where I really thought, you know, Greg Berhalter made this point, and a lot of people got mad at him because he's the former coach and people don't like him. But he made the point that he didn't feel like Pulisic was particularly involved against the game plan. But it was a sense of like Pulisic not being able to find space, not being able to get consistent service. There will be more space in this match for him to exploit than there was in the past matches.
Anthony, who else should we look at as far as players who will have an opportunity to find greater space if the Belgians, again, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, decide to crash down and mark Balogun even more heavily?
Yeah, so the U.S. played Belgium in a friendly in March. So we do have a little bit of recent history here. And I went back and watched some of the key moments in that match. And the U.S. was playing a back four at the time. And they were being very aggressive with their fullbacks. So that's Jedi Robinson and Sergiño Dest. And what ended up happening was that the U.S. got exposed on the counter and in transition numerous times in that game because Jeremy Doku, the left winger for Belgium and the best player on the pitch in this match, is incredible in space. He's one of the best dribblers in the world, and he's a problem for the U.S. He is the first guy on the team sheet you need to circle when you're considering how do you defend Belgium. And too often in that match, Sergiño Dest, the right back for the U.S., was too far forward. And Jedi Robinson, the left back, was too far forward. And so it was a situation where you had the two center backs trying to cover a lot of space and cover Doku, and Doku was able to get the ball in transition and just wreck the United States. Now, the U.S. has changed tactically since then to play a back three. So there'll be another defender when Dest pushes up, when Robinson pushes up. There'll be another defender back there for the United States. That's why they switched to the back three. That defender is most likely Alex Freeman. Freeman is a very athletic two-way player, but he's going to be the primary defender tasked with guarding slash defending Jeremy Doku in one-on-one situations. I suspect that Dest will track back a good bit as well on the right side, but Freeman becomes instantly the most important U.S. defender in this match because of how good Doku is, how great he is at dribbling, and how important it is for him to keep Doku in front once he gets him behind. That's danger zone for the U.S.
Anthony DeBundo, the Ringer, with us here breaking down USA-Belgium tonight in Seattle. The winner goes on to the quarterfinals of World Cup 2026. You mentioned Doku there for just a moment. Who are the other weapons that the Belgians can use to try and exploit the U.S. backline, and how do they do it? Is it from the wings? Is it on the counterattack? Is it through the midfield? How do you suspect the Belgians try to play that out?
Yeah, I mean, I would describe Belgium outside of Doku as a relatively unathletic but technically gifted soccer team. And what that means is that they have, you know, three key players that I think are worth keying in on besides Jeremy Doku. And it's Leandro Trossard, who's an inside forward for Arsenal. He's not like a striker, but he's not really a winger. He kind of just shows up in certain spaces and is very good at picking out passes, at getting on the ball and creating chances for himself and for others. Trossard is a really good player for Arsenal. He's been a super sub for them. He's started key matches. He's one to key in on. Then there's Youri Tielemans. Tielemans is a traditional deep-lying midfield passer who is not particularly good at defending. And so the Belgians kind of make a bet on their passing range and sacrifice some in defense with Tielemans on the pitch. And he's another guy who plays for Aston Villa in the Premier League, you know, one of the better teams in the league. He's another person to key in on. If he's able to get time and space on the ball and not get pressed, that's danger zone for the U.S. And then the one name that I think everybody knows when it comes to Belgium is Kevin De Bruyne, who used to be one of the best all-around pure midfielders in the world, box-to-box. He is not that anymore, but again, like Tielemans, you give him time and space on the ball, he is one of the most gifted passers in the history of soccer, quite frankly. So De Bruyne's ability to pick out passes from anywhere on the pitch, create chances for others, is still as good as anybody. And he'll drop pretty deep, too. He'll end up in the Belgian back line at times to pick up the ball, to help bring the ball forward. So De Bruyne, Tielemans, and Trossard are kind of the big three. They're not particularly attic anymore trio, but the very good with the ball at their feet trio.
For the American fans that kind of want to get a primer on the next opponent, assuming the U.S. is able to defeat Belgium tonight, what should they look for in Portugal, Spain this afternoon, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific?
They should root for Portugal, for starters. I think they match up considerably better with Portugal than they do with Spain. And all of that has to do with possession structure and out of possession structure. So Spain, to this point in the tournament, has been the most dominant possession team. That is not a surprise. That is in Spain's DNA. That is in their ethos. They are a gifted team when they lose the ball at immediately pressing it and winning it back. And they would put the U.S. midfield in a bit of a anything you can do, I can do better pickle if they have to go up against this Spanish group. So that is a problem if they have to play Spain. As far as Portugal goes, Portugal has shown a lot of cracks. I mean, they were not better than DR Congo in that draw with them. They were outplayed considerably by Colombia. And then the second half, I thought Croatia was the clear better team. Portugal gets a penalty. They get a VAR decision to go their way. They win the match. But they were not good at any point in the second half against Croatia. And really, it comes down to Portugal has a Ronaldo problem. They're still starting him. He's 41 years old. And whereas, you know, Argentina is getting all of this goal-scoring production and hiding Messi out of possession, Portugal is not able to do that with Ronaldo because he's just, as the central striker, too focal to the attack and not giving them nearly enough in attack to justify the fact that he does no defensive work, and nor do their other wingers. So Portugal's press, Portugal's structure is not very good. They're very easy to play through, and you've seen that in this tournament. I mean, Croatia should have scored two or three, only ended up with one. Colombia had multiple big chances at the back post against Portugal, no pressure on the ball. Congo could have had two. I mean, the defense is bad. Relative to the other elite teams for Portugal. So I think it would be a huge advantage for the U.S. if Portugal were to win this match. If Spain wins it, all your eyes should be on Lamine Yamal. He's the superstar for Spain. He's 18 years old. He's going to be 19 in a couple of weeks. He's already one of the best players in the world.
Spain minus 112 favorites right now at BetMGM. One last thing for you, Anthony, before I let you run. I know England survived in Mexico City last night. It was a phenomenal environment, electric the entire time. But the story of the day for me, I think, was Erling Haaland getting two more and Norway upsetting Brazil at nearly 3-1. And not just upsetting Brazil, but I think just because of the way they and their fans have carried themselves during this World Cup, if there's a soccer Cinderella this summer, if American fans are without the U.S. team to root for at some point, it definitely feels like Norway is becoming the Cinderella, the darling of this tournament.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very – one, they have the global superstar, right? They have a couple other good star players, Martin Odegaard, who a lot of Americans will know who watch the Premier League because he's been so good at Arsenal the last few seasons. They have other guys, but really I think – they play such a enjoyable brand as well. It's not just, you know, we're going to park the bus and we're going to attack. They actually do take risks. They play exciting matches. I mean, if you go back to the group stage, they played a thrilling 3-2 with Senegal which was back and forth the whole match. Holland scored twice. Again, their defense is not very good, and they really should have conceded a couple yesterday. I thought Brazil maybe let them off the hook of it in that match without scoring until stoppage time. The goalkeeper stands on his head, right? You need a few breaks to go your way to pull off upsets like that. But, you know, they're a fun brand. They have a great star. They play an easy style to watch on the eye. And, yeah, their fans have been great. It's been fun to watch the row. I was at a bar last week, and there were a bunch of Norwegians doing the row in Philadelphia, and Norway didn't even play there. So it's been an enjoyable experience. I think Morocco is similar to that. And everybody kind of knows Morocco from their run 4 years ago, and I'll put them in kind of the other Cinderella category as well, because they made the quarterfinals and back-to-back World Cups, which is pretty rare and extremely unlikely given the soccer history of Morocco, but it's growing. And, you know, I think Norway is a perfect example of a golden generation when you get a handful of players that come together and a great coach. I mean, Solbakken, for my money, has been the best, if not the second best coach at this entire tournament. He is perfectly hiding their weaknesses, accentuating their strengths. So I'm enjoying Norway. I don't think they'll get past England, but I think it'll be a fun match either way. Kane and Holland sharing a pitch. It's a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be excellent. Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer, thanks so much for your insight again, Anthony, and we'll hope to catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight, live from Seattle, the Americans taking on the Belgians. And we'll continue to break that down throughout the day here on Westwood One Sports and get you properly psyched for tonight's match. I think the next question is, just how big could tonight's match be? As in, how big are the numbers? How many millions of people are going to sit down tonight and park the bus, to use a soccer term, to watch Monday Night Football as the U.S. has a chance to go through to the quarterfinals against Belgium? Let's speculate just a bit about what those numbers could look like based on what we've seen so far. And coming up at the top of the hour, someone burning his final bridge in the NFL. That's all on the way here on Westwood One Sports.
We know you're jonesing for some football just like we are.
I'm jonesing, man.
NFL training camps begin opening in 16 days. And yes, we're counting. Your home for the NFL. Westwood One Sports.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
It's no secret, today's diesel isn't as good as it should be. Diesel lacks lubricity. That can lead to fuel system failure, costing thousands in repairs. But you can prevent those issues with Hotshot Secret products. Clean injectors, boost cetane, increase fuel economy while adding 4 times more lubricity than the leading competitor. Claims proven by real-world use and confirmed by third-party ASTM testing. Available nationwide at truck stops, farm and automotive stores, and online at HotshotSecret.com. Hotshot Secret. Powered by science.
When the moments in your life are too important to miss, you can trust O'Reilly Auto Parts to keep you and your plans on the road. Our professional parts people can test your vehicle's battery and even give it a charge if needed. In most cases, we can install your new battery for free. It's just one of the many services we provide at O'Reilly Auto Parts to ensure life's best moments don't find you stranded.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I scream. You scream. We all scream.
Because Wendy's famous small classic Frosty is just a buck for a limited time. More screaming, happy screaming, summer screaming, dollar small classic Frosty screaming!
But please don't scream in the drive-thru. It hurts the employees' ears.
Get a $1 small classic Frosty for a limited time. Only at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. A la carte only. Not valid for delivery. Limit 10 per transaction. Price may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.